Amen. So today we're concluding our series that we've been doing called Teach Us to Pray. And we've been going through what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter number 6. And I just want to remind you that, again, it is a framework, not a formula. Like, there's all kinds of different ways to pray, and I would just encourage you that this is one model of prayer, but there's a lot of different things. But today we're going to talk about praying through temptation. How many of you know all of us deal with temptation every single day, multiple times a day? Anybody not? Like, you're just never tempted with anything, right? Like we're all tempted, right? Like, how many times in this 21 days of prayer and fasting have you dealt with temptation? Right? Maybe it's been the temptation to eat when you made a commitment that you wouldn't, or you're like, I'm just going to, you know, right? Like, I'm going to skip one meal a day and I'm going to fast. And then, like, you talk to some person and they're like, has this happened to you? Hey, you know what? You're going to skip lunch. You're going to fast lunch. And then somebody invites you to lunch. Right? And you're just like, well, I really need to talk to this person and I really need to meet with this person, so I should probably just go, right? Like, you're tempted, and Satan will always bring those things, right? We deal with temptation all the time. We're tempted to be lazy. Isn't that right? How many of you know quarantine has caused some of us to kind of be lull into laziness? Right? I know some people that's like, oh, well, I don't have to go into work, so I'm just going to sit in my pajamas all day. I'm not going to be productive. Right. Come on, somebody. I know. Can I just be straight up with you? Can I just be real with you? I know some pastors who've taken this as a vacation. And they think that just because the church is maybe in some ways being persecuted, that how somehow that God is paralyzed. But let me just tell you today, church, listen, the church has always been persecuted and put down and that whole thing. But listen, it has never once. Listen, our God is too big to be paralyzed. So I'm not just going to sit back and say, we can't do anything. I'm praying right now, God, give me creative ways to reach out to people who don't know Jesus. Right? Maybe you're tempted sometimes to eat too much or covet what other people have or buy stuff, right, online that you don't really need. And that's just a few of the thousands of temptations that maybe you struggle with. But how many of you have met someone and maybe they come out of an addiction to drugs or alcohol and they say this, man, I've been set free. And ever since the day I've been set free, I've never had a desire for alcohol ever again. You ever met anybody like that? When I was in Teen Challenge, I would hear people say that. And I would just think early in my ministry, I was like, dude, is that even possible? Right? Is it even possible that you like have a hatred for coffee, right? Because that's just my deal. Come on. I'm the only one. Okay. Right? Like, is that even possible? Is that addiction? Like, is it even possible? And I just think that, you know what? According to Scripture, it is. Right? There is a great connection between prayer and walking in freedom. Right? There's a great connection between prayer and walking in freedom. So let's jump in this morning. Matthew chapter number 6, verses 9 through 13. You can go on YouVersion and follow along with our notes if you would like to this morning. But here's what it says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not, now here's what we're staying at today, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today we want to look at the first part of verse number 16. It says, lead us not into temptation. Now here's a question. Can God lead us into temptation? Well, James chapter number 1, verse number 13 says this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So God doesn't tempt us. So what is Jesus saying in the Lord's Prayer? He's saying this. He's saying in verse number 13, he says, we pray that temptation doesn't take us in. That temptation doesn't overtake us, right? How many know there's a difference between me leading you to something and me leading you in something? Right? I can lead you to Little River, but I'm probably not going to lead you into Little River. You see the difference? Like, I can take you to the bank, but I'm not going to lead you into that place, right? I love the prayer one man prayed. He said, today I will stand before many temptations, but God forbid that I yield. Keep me from stepping inside temptation. So we walk around temptation all the time, right? Like, how many know if you wake up in the morning, you're going to be tempted, right? If you get out of bed, if you get around people, even if you're by yourself. Listen, some people are like, I'm just going to stay at home because I don't have to deal with people at Walmart. Listen, the biggest enemy you have is right with you, right? Right? So it doesn't matter if you go to Walmart or not. Right? Until you get this right, it doesn't matter. Because temptation is going to be there because I am my biggest enemy. Right? We're always like, everybody. No. We are our biggest enemy, right? So we walk around temptation all the time, but we can walk in freedom when we pray that God would keep us from walking into temptation. So one of the main things you need to know in order to deal with temptation and not fall into temptation is to know what tempts you. How many know what your top three temptations are? Anybody? Like, what tempts me most is not what's going to necessarily tempt you most. Like, when I walk into Best Buy or Apple Store, my heart starts to pitter-patter. I start looking around at the electronics, and I think of the possibilities and the potential and what you can do, right? Some of you walk into Best Buy, and you think that is a bunch of overpriced technology that will be out of date in 6 months. Isn't that right? So that's my temptation. I have to prepare myself before I go into one of those places. However, here's my deal. Like, I can go into Bass Pro Shop, and you go into Bass Pro Shop, and you have the same pitter-patter that my heart has in Best Buy. Right? And I go into Bass Pro Shop, and I don't care. I can look at a boat, and my question is, how fast does those fish swim? Right? Like, right, because my temptation, like, it's not a bad thing, right? It's just a temptation thing. Right? My temptations are not the same. Like, some of you, like, I know some people, they love cars. Like, they love old cars. They like working on cars. To me, I just need a car to roll. Right? That's all I'm asking. Right? Temptations are different, but we just need to know what our temptation is because we all have different temptations, right? But God says we can walk in freedom. So I want to help us this morning. I want to look at a time when Jesus was tempted by Satan. In Luke chapter number 4, verses 1 through 2, you can follow along on the screen. It says this: Jesus, full of the Spirit, left Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days, not 21 days, 40 days, he was tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. You're like, duh. 40 days, Jesus is physically hungry, but I don't think he was just physically hungry. I think he's pretty much in isolation. Quarantine, sound familiar? And I think he was not just physically hungry, but he was actually hungry for community. Like, hungry to be together with other people. Hungry to be back on the mission that God placed him on the planet for, right? Then verses 3 through 13, it says this. It says, then the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil led him to the high place, and he showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I will give you all authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord God and serve God and serve him only. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and to guard you carefully, and he will lift up your hands so you will not strike your head or strike your foot against a stone. And then Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord God to a test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left until an opportune time. I think there's three temptations that we need to pray against that we see in this passage. These are temptations that we have to guard against walking into, right? And here's what I know, because here's what we do. We're like, I've not had a temptation or whatever. We blow it off. And I just want to, listen, if the devil tempted Jesus in these places, I have a pretty good inkling that he's going to tempt you. Right? So let me give you three temptations that we need to pray against. Number one is the temptation to be selfish. Anybody ever have that temptation? Verse number 3, the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus was on a 40-day fast. He's hungry. He's got hunger pains. How many know, like, some of us have a 40-minute fast? We have hunger pains? Come on, I got a headache. Right? And I know some people have medical things. I'm not belittling that at all, okay? I totally understand that. But how many know, like, 40 days, that's pretty intense, right? And so he's wrestling with, am I going to satisfy the Father and what he's called me to do, or am I going to satisfy my cravings? Am I going to live to fulfill the desires of my flesh and the pleasures of my flesh and what I want, or the desires of the Father, right? Here's what I know. We're born into selfishness. Isn't that true? It's something we all start out with. I think we start out with when we're kids, right? Like two words that when we started speaking in life, how many know there's two words that infants, toddlers tend to speak, right? Number one is no. No. Here's number two, right? Mine. Right? Mine. 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 Right? Like we're born into, again, just so you know, the Bible says we're born into sin. Right? And so we're tempted to be selfish. And I know maybe you're like, man, I'm older now. I don't ever do that. Like, I don't say mine, mine, mine. But how many know, like, honestly, do we ever really grow out of that? Let me just tell you, you can look around the world today and you can tell a lot of people are really selfish. Right? So we may not say it anymore out loud like we did as children, but I think we, at the core of who we are, we're all tempted at times to be selfish. Right? Example, if I took my phone out today and I took a group photo, how many of you know, the first thing that you will look for is you in that photo. Isn't that right? Like, and if you look good or you think you look good, how many know it's a great photo? And if you look terrible, you're like, that's a stupid photo, delete it. Right? Anybody done that, right? Right? How do you feel when your friend gets a new car? Why can't I have a new car? Right? Because we're selfish, right? All these people going on vacation all the time, must be nice. And we get jealous, right? We kind of get a little selfish because why can't I do that? I think selfishness is a big deal to Jesus because I think Jesus created us to be in community. And how many know if you're selfish and in your community, how many know you got problems? Right? If it's all about you and you're in community, like it's a problem, right? In the early church, they were all about community. Church is just starting out in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 45. It says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. There was this lack of selfishness in the early church. It was about everybody else. I don't care if I get mine. I want you to make sure you get yours, right? And I think when people outside the church see this, it causes people who don't know Jesus to want to actually be a part of something that the church is doing. Let me say it this way. The less selfish God's people are, the more attractive to the kingdom people who do not know him are. They're attracted to it, right? I think a lot of people who don't know Jesus look at the church and often all they see is a bunch of hypocrites, right? And they say, why would I want to be a part of that, right? Have you ever asked that question? Like one of the questions that I always try to think about in terms of church is like, if I was not at church, like, would I want to be a part of this group? Right? Because I think it's a challenging question. Because like, listen, I'm all in if we're looking out for each other, right? If we're going to take care of each other, but if it's only be backbiting and I'm going to get mine and it's all selfishness and power struggles, like who wants to do that? Like, no thanks. I get enough of that mess in the world. Who would want to go there? But listen, if we would be people who say, you know what, it's not about me, it's about others. I think that's a community people want to be a part of. Selfishness, church, is not Christ-like. Selfishness is not Christ-like. Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Like he came to serve, not to be served. And I think our selfishness is a big deal that needs to be dealt with in our life. So don't blow over this deal. Oh, I'm not selfish. Can I just be honest with you? Like, we're selfish, right? I'm selfish. Like, I like the temperature that I like, right? I like the atmosphere that I like. I like the music the way I like. Come on, anybody, right? Like, I like the food I like. Right? Like I tend to be selfish and God's just saying, listen, we got to guard against God. It's going to be around me. I'm going to be tempted to say, I want my way and I want to do this. I'm going to have that temptation. And so he's like, pray that I do not fall into that temptation. Number one. Number two is this, the temptation to be a superstar. I know for some of us, that's not a deep temptation, but I wonder if the truth be told that all of us want to be a superstar in some way. Again, listen to the Holy Spirit this morning, okay? Satan knew it was a temptation, so that's why he tempted Jesus. In verses 5 through 7, it says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you'll just worship me, it'll be yours. Satan says to Jesus, essentially, hey, Jesus, you can be somebody. Right? Hey, Jesus, you can be important. Now, understand, he was important, but that was the temptation. I think all of us have a temptation deep down, especially guys, to be a superstar, to be good at your job, right? Nobody wants to sign up to be a loser, right? And so we have this temptation, right, to really, really, like, I want to be somebody, right? I want to be known as the best in my field. It doesn't matter what your field is. If you're like, you build stuff, you want to be the best that you can possibly be, right? Like, we want to be respected and be looked up to, right? And again, I think it starts out when we're children, right? We ask this question all the time. Like, we say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so when we say, well, little Johnny or Susie says, oh, I would love to be a doctor, man, we're like, ah! We light up like a Christmas tree. But if our kids said, hey, I would like to work at McDonald's for the rest of my life, we're like, wah, wah, wah. Isn't that right? Some of you are like, God, please, no. Right? Right? Because, listen, because somehow we've decided that, like, what's a great, because here's what we do. We measure what a great profession is by this. How much money do we make and what kind of title do we have? I think maybe instead of asking our kids what they want to be when they grow up, maybe we should start asking them this question. And this is worth the price of admission today. So if you don't get anything out of what I say today, the rest of the day, listen to this. What about, instead of asking your kids, Mackenzie and I were talking about this last night. I was telling her what I was preaching on it a little bit, and we're talking, having a drive, and I said, what if, instead of asking our kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? What if our question is, what problem do you want to solve? What problem do you want to solve? Because how many know people who have a lot of money and they're miserable? They got money, they can go in and do whatever they want to do. They can buy whatever they want to. They got a big house, they got a big car, they got all the toys that you possibly have. They got all kinds of stuff and they're miserable because they haven't got their God-given purpose. Right? And instead of just saying, hey, we just like, oh, I want to have a title and money. We can actually make a difference in this world, right? So what problem do you want to solve? Like, do you want to solve homelessness? Or the problems in foster care? Do you want to foster children? Right? Or maybe you could say, you know what? I see a lot of people have a hard time getting around. Like, how many know there's a whole lot of people walking around? Right? Like, I would like to get into maybe I could sell cars and actually help people get into cars so they didn't have to walk everywhere. Right? So you could be a car seller. Maybe you would want to be a person who says, you know what? I want to actually be an accountant because I would like to help people with their finances and help them with their taxes. And I would actually like to be like what kind of problem can you solve? Right? Maybe you would just say, I would love to be a nurse because I like for people to be healthy and be able to enjoy their life. Right? So many times we think of, again, our careers in two terms, how much money I make and what kind of title I have. And I know we need to provide for our family, but how many know people, listen, it's not always about the money. I know a lot of people who have very little money who are a whole lot happier than rich people. Because it's not about your cash. Right? Because here's the deal. And can I just be honest with you? Like, a lot of us are finding out right now, like, you had a 401k one day, and then the 401k is gone the next day. Like, listen, money don't, if that's what your hope is in, and you're putting all your eggs in that basket, like, you're in a heap of trouble. Because it's here in a moment and it's a vapor, man. So you better build your life on Christ and what he's got for you, right? But our desire sneaks up, doesn't it, to be a superstar? It sneaks up in our conversations and on our media posts, right? For instance, in our conversations, sometimes we're like, well, this is where I went on vacation. Can I just be honest with you? I had to make a quick trip to do some family business on Thursday with my parents. And so I go there, and I always take my dad to the coast or whatever. And we just got back from Utah and had probably one of the best vacations I've ever had in my entire life. It was just Michelle and I, and we had some experiences we had never been able to have ever. And it was really, really cool. And the Lord kind of spoke to me because I started talking to my dad because just about, like, man, we got to go here. We got to see Danny Gokey in concert a couple of times. He led worship. We saw Andy Stanley. Like, you know, like, it's like all this cool stuff. And the Lord's like, Kind of making a big deal of this, aren't you? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't say, hey, we had a great vacation. Right? Does God speak to anybody else like that, or is it just me? Am I the only one ever gets convicted of stuff like that? It's like, you're making a big deal of this, aren't you? Like, yeah, you I got to meet this guy, blah, 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 and I got to do this, and I got to eat this, and blah, blah, blah. Right? Isn't it? Right? Even in our conversations, and sometimes we're like, well, we don't ever brag, except on social media. Right? Where we take photos of everywhere we went. Beach toes. Come on, somebody. Right? Life's good here in Hawaii. Right? Not, again, is it bad? No, but, dude, take a picture of this is my breakfast this morning. Right? And listen, don't think I'm being critical. Like, I got a picture of a waffle on my phone right now from Utah. You hear me? Right? Like, I do. I didn't post it on Facebook, but I saved it for the savoring of the memories. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not being critical. I'm just simply saying, isn't it easy for us to kind of want to make a big deal of ourselves? And we say no, but really, when it comes down to it, we really never outgrown that. That desire to be selfish or the desire to be somebody. And I would just say this to you this morning. Temptation to be a superstar is a worship issue. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 8, says this. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus is saying, listen, we exist to worship God. And isn't it true that we sometimes were tempted to make a big deal of ourselves, and we just got to remember that it's not about us. It's about making a big deal out of God. And sometimes we can twist it around like, oh, I'm not bragging about me. I'm just telling about how good God is. And sometimes that's true. But sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, as a pastor and sometimes just in life, like sometimes I'm like, I use that as a platform if I'm not careful. And God, I just have to pray before I post anything on social media. God, is this bringing glory to me or is this bringing glory to you? Right? Today, you'll go home today and you'll see churches all over the place, and they'll say, we had this many people saved, or we had this many people. Well, nobody right now is bragging about attendance because we're about 30 to 40% of what we normally run. Right? But so nobody's really doing that. But before COVID, like, this is the deal. And it's like, are we really bringing glory to God? Or are we bringing glory to our church? Are we making people want to serve Jesus? Or making people want to come to my church? Is it about him? Or is it really at the core about me? Right? I'm just telling you, it can really easily become messed up, right? Because here's what we do. We like pick off no, it's not, and we don't look at it again. But listen, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, would you shine down, search me and know me and see if there's any evil way in me? Like, really, why am I doing this? Because here's what I know, especially with guys, we like to be looked at as successful. And so we're going to, every time we get an opportunity, we're going to make a big deal of us, and we're going to bring worship to us instead of him. And here's what Isaiah chapter number 42, verse number 8 says. It says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. Like, that's not your name. Right? Jesus isn't your name. And he says, I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. God's not going to share his glory with us. Let me say it this way. The created is not, never will be greater than the creator. Right? And so I'm just saying, again, I know this is like, you know, Michelle's like, hey, this isn't dessert. Okay, I get this is the collard greens and lima beans and all the stuff that like we don't necessarily like. But dessert's coming, okay? Right? But it's just true, right? Because we are, at the core, sometimes tempted to be selfish, and we're sometimes tempted to be a big deal. Here's number 3. The temptation to be powerful. Verse number 9, it says, the devil led him to Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. Think about the show of power. Like, if I went down to, we don't have any tall buildings really in Gina, but let's just say Southern Heritage, because I would still die if I jumped off, right? But if I jumped off Southern Heritage building, bank, and angels from heaven come down and caught me, how many would be like, I don't know that I agree with everything that guy says, but that's pretty powerful. Like, we'd start a show, we'd write a book, we'd be on Facebook promoting, right? That's a powerful thing. Like, think about Jesus, highest place of the temple, goes, like, Think about what people would have said in those days. They're no different than we are. They would have been impressed, right? Like, dude, look at this guy. Again, Jesus was powerful, all powerful. But Jesus understood this, and you and I need to understand this. All power comes from God, not us. Amen. John chapter number 5, verse number 19 says this. Jesus gave him this answer. For very truly I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself, only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Again, he's just not going to share his power with us. Right? It all comes from him. Right? There's in the Old Testament this power play. Remember Moses, the leader of Israel, right? And they're slaves in Israel, or in Egypt rather, and God promises to lead the people out to the promised land, and Moses is leading them, and they go through these times where they're obeying Jesus and then they're not obeying Jesus, and they go back and forth. And so Moses is frustrated because the people are complaining, which I think is interesting, because how many know, like, there's a whole lot of frustration because people, everybody right now is complaining. Isn't that right? Like, everybody's complaining. And so he's frustrated because they were complaining because they didn't have any water, right? And God tells Moses, hey, I want you to go strike this rock. And then in Numbers chapter number 20, verse number 10, it says this. He and Aaron, Moses and Aaron, gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, and you need to catch this because we missed this. Listen, you rebels, talking to God's people, we must bring water to you out of this rock. Did you catch that? We must bring water to you out of this rock. Moses made the mistake that I think some of us make. He fell into the temptation to look as powerful as God. He didn't say, God's going to give us water. He's like, we, like, me, and oh yeah, God. Ouch. Right? Because isn't it true? Like, we sometimes like to do that, right? We can easily be tempted to want power. We want power in our jobs. Like, we want to be the boss. Right? How many know, like, if you could just run the place would be awesome. Right? Nobody's ever thought that, right? You've never been tempted to think, hey, I would love to have some power over here because I could straighten this mess out. Right? If you don't believe me, look at the Facebook post from the school board meeting on Monday night. Come on, somebody. Everybody's got an opinion. Right? Like, because we want the power, right? And sometimes in families. How many know, like, you got certain people that you're dreading right now? It's not even close to Thanksgiving right yet. And you're already targeting those people. You're like, oh, Lord. Because you got that person who's a control freak in your family. Anybody but me. Sometimes in the church. That's terrible to say, but isn't it true? Like, we want power. We want to call the shots. We want to say how the money's spent. We want to say what the vision of the church is. We want power. And it's just really easy. Listen, I'm not talking about surface Sunday morning Christianity where, oh, yeah, I that would never be me. Listen, it is always all three of these temptations. If it came against Jesus, I will promise you we have dealt with that and we will still struggle with that. Right? So how do you know if this is a temptation for you? Well, let me just ask you a couple of questions. The worship team, you guys can go ahead and come. Do I always have to get my way? Oh, I'm not a power. I don't care about power. I just want it done my way. Right? This is a silly illustration. I've given it to you before, but I had this lady in Colorado, and she was a sweet lady. But things just had to be her way. Right? And how many know, like, the same is true, right, with us now. If we're not careful, we fall into that place where we have this power, right? Here's another question that I would ask, and that is, do we always have to win the argument? Do you always have to be right? Oh, I don't have an issue with being a power hungry. I just got to be right. Right? So let's get back to the story and quit meddling, okay? Jesus is using Scripture against Satan, so Satan tries to use Scripture against Jesus. And Luke chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, here's what it says. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up your heads so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord God to a test. The problem was Satan was misusing Scripture. And one of the problems we have when we're trying to be powerful is, how many know we can twist the Scripture? We can bend the Bible to what we want. Isn't that right? To fit our lives. To make it say what we want it to say in order to get our way. Isn't that right? How many of you are, like, can I just be honest with you as a pastor? There may have been times in my early ministry that I may have done that. I know you would never do that, right? Like, oh no, not me. There was times when I was early in ministry, I was so zealous, I had a whole lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom, that I would take a scripture and I would twist it around just enough to get people to do what I thought would make me look good. Now, you can fire me later, okay? Because I know you're like, oh, my pastor struggles with sin. Yeah, I'm still breathing. And the truth is, we all do, right? And here's what we've got to do here, especially when it comes to this power thing. We've got to learn to bend the Bible, or bend our lives to fit the Bible, right? Let me say it this way. I can't make my life more powerful than the teachings of Scripture. More powerful than the teaching of Scripture. I've got to say, I'm going to build my life around what Scripture says. So that's the question this morning, and you can stand with me just for a moment this morning. What are you going to allow to be more powerful in your life? Doing things God's way or doing things your way? Because my temptation is, yeah, I know that's what Scripture says, but this is real life. Ever said that? This is real life. And so I'll twist. So I've just got to make sure that I'm not letting my life and my circumstances be more powerful than my God and His Word.